Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
Welcome to the new and improved Draft Doctors. Yes, we've received the feedback and it's our listeners' show. You've asked for more keeper content, we've got it. And you've asked for a younger, hipper presenters. So while Jono's away on his second honeymoon, we can give you that as well. And keeping with a hippie theme, I welcome the groovy Stevie Fizz.
G'day, mate. G'day, listeners. I definitely think that's the first time I've ever been called groovy. It should be exciting, man. I know this is one of your favourite subjects, the keeper list management. I'll certainly be interested to hear your thoughts on it, and I hope the listeners can get something out of it for their upcoming list strategy decisions.
Yeah, and I did think, rather than just do a generic keeper show where you sort of roll out the four or five things, we thought we might put actually the list management into practice. So we're going to look at our listener keeper league and discuss the 12 players that we will keep from our three squads. So obviously your squad, playing in the grand final, mine won the premiership, and I'm not sure how well Jono did, but looking by the list, he certainly had a bit of a challenge. So normally with a 12 keeper league, you would aim to retain three defenders, five midfielders, one ruckman, and three forwards. But as you'll see, it's all about who you actually have. So you set your game plan around your players, not your players around your game plan. And that's the same case in real footy. So we'll start with the two grand final teams, and firstly with the Premier's Statesman's Guns. So we're going to start going through our defenders. We're going to talk about each of the players as individuals and what our thoughts are, what we believe their role is, how likely they're going to be in the 22. We'll go through individually and then we'll decide how many we're going to keep out of the defenders list and move on through each group there. We also must note that at every end of season, there's a list of already delisted players. So my delisted players are Hodge. Now, I will clear that I delisted Hodge myself after the announcement of retirement, not knowing there was going to come out of retirement. And someone in our keeper league was very smart and snaffled him up as soon as the Brisbane announcement happened. But I also had James Kelly and Matthew Boyd as part of my premiership team. Both were called in on the waiver wire a grand final week, thinking a last hurrah, both were coming back in and both might score well. They did exactly that. I think James Kelly scored a 99 and I think Boydie might have got 130 odd in the grand final.
I remember it well. He certainly found enough of the pill to lead me to have a night where I cried myself to sleep.
That's good to hear. So we'll start off, and I've ranked each of the positions with the players with the highest average. So my highest averaging defender was actually Christian Salem. Now, 22 years of age, had his breakout year. People have been talking about Christian Salem for many a year that he was going to be a good player, and we're a little bit confused of whether he was ever really going to string some games together, but he averaged 85. Now, my immediate question is, will Christian Salem be part of their best 22?
Well, that's the big question, and we've broken each other's lists down and everything, and I had this look at Christian Salem. You sort of think he's a must keep, but I sort of feel dirty when I think that. Like, I got to be honest. Like, yes, he's your highest scoring defender. Yes, he's young. Yes, he can find the ball. Yes, he should be fantastic. But I kind of just have this, he just brings out those uneasy feelings. And I think it's just that history of having been burnt by Salem for the last, say, 2, maybe 3 years. I guess the third year might be a bit unfair, but the last 2 years, certainly.
Now, I would sort of look at him and say, I think, and the point is, I think he's in their top 22. Is that how you would rate him?
Yeah, I absolutely do, yeah.
Okay, well, I had a question mark. What was yours on him?
It's just more the durability and that he hasn't been a walk-up start for whatever reason. Now, we know they've had a change of coach. Maybe that, the new Simon Goodwin looks upon him differently than Paul Roos did. So I guess you can sort of say, well, maybe that change has happened. Maybe he's matured slightly off field. I don't know. But I think you can hopefully, I think you have to keep him, I'll put it that way. And looking forward, you certainly have a glass half full outlook.
Yeah, absolutely. And through the off season, I don't think there's been changes to suggest that he would lose his role to someone else. Obviously, they've got to recruit in the defensive line, but that's probably taken one of the McDonalds out of a position, isn't it?
Well,
With Jake Lever.
they're just completely different players. And the very fact that I think you can look at a guy like Bernie Vince and say, well, he's not going to be around for much longer. Who are they going to put games into? And the answer is obviously Salem.
Yeah, no, fair call. What I've done there is actually put keep, but then question mark after him. So we'll see how many we've got at the end of that, and then see whether we keep Christian Salem. The next highest averaging defender was Ryan Burton. Picked him up off the waiver wire after round one. I think he scored a ton. Might have been round two. I apologise. He might have come in the second round. Scored a ton. And I said, I like what I saw. I grabbed him off the waiver wire and ended up being my second highest scoring defender.
Yeah, I think he's an easy keep.
Yeah, absolutely, totally agree. He's a keeper for mine. He's one you just square away. And I think once Salem, Burton, and Brody Smith, who we'll talk about a little bit later, were doing pretty well for me and obviously started with Doherty as well, I just thought my back line's just sensational. And actually started to look at who I was trading out of my back line because I had so much in there. The next player, averaging 82, was the ripe old age of 29. And you know how I feel about players turning 30. And I will say the ages were the ages in 2017. So you add one for 2018. Was Jared Harbrow. Now, he's a player that I think only played three or four games for me, had a interrupted season with injury. My immediate thought at 30 years of age next year, I just don't know what role he's going to have and whether his body can hold up. So he's probably an out for me.
Yeah, it's probably unfortunate that he's an easy cut, but I think in your team, that's what he is. We'll go through, my and Jono's teams later. And to be fair, actually, the way Jono's team's made up, he probably is an easy cut in that team as well. But I think that's just where he is, and that's the realities.
Yeah, absolutely. It might be someone that any of us can actually redraft along the way, but I don't think he's a long-term defender for any keeper team. Next is Brody Smith, who, from my memory, was my second defender selected originally. So Doherty was my number one defender. So when going through the draft, Brody Smith was my second. Quite confident that he was just going to be in that range, that he was always going to be in my top five. But of course, done an ACL, is out for all of 2018, 25 years of age, an 80 average, never really hit the heights that we probably expected of him 2 or 3 years ago. And all of a sudden, he's out for a whole year. And as we know, players that come back from an ACL take 12 months to hit their top form again. So would you be like me and saying you just don't hold on to a player? He's not a Doherty?
No, I think he's an easy cut. And we had disagreements when you drafted him. You obviously had a rosier outlook for Brody Smith than I did. Obviously, the injury happened, and that sucks. What can you say? But I wouldn't have been keeping him anyway. I see no reason to keep him now. I'd much rather choose someone with upside.
Yeah, absolutely. Next on the list is someone I've been quite impressed with, but he really hasn't delivered consistently the scores. So only averaged 67. So that's not keeper material, but that's Jimmy Webster at St Kilda. Now leave Montagna out, and when he's played that sort of loose sweeping role in defence, he's scored well. Where do you see Jimmy Webster?
It's the million-dollar question, isn't it? We've seen the upside, but an average of 67 suggests that there's a heck of a lot of downside too. I guess with the retirement of Montagna, you could certainly make the argument that he's going to push to a mid-80s average. I've got him for you as a maybe keep, and we'll talk about how you want to balance that out. I think you can cut him. It depends on whether you see Jimmy Webster having that fantasy-friendly role in defence, which he certainly could have. So he's probably a big pre-season watch and see where he's where he's training in the summer.
So one of my replacements when I've delisted your Kellys, Boyds types was actually Darcy Lang, because there was a lot of talk about him being traded. Now, he's found himself at Carlton Football Club, listed as a defender. Now, that's the interesting part. Is he a midfielder? Is he a forward? Or, as he was in Ultimate Footy last year, a defender? Now, from my memory, he only played 6 or 7 games, so whether they've got enough information to be clear on his position. Only averaged 66, but at 21 years of age and shown quite a few games, including one of the finals where he's turned up, this bloke can score if he's given the opportunity. What's going to happen with him at Carlton Footy Club?
Yeah, I think he'll probably be listed as a mid-forward for the next season. And I think if you wanted a one-year rental, he'd be fine. But I think he'll end up playing through the midfield on a wing. We know he can. His pace is his asset. He'll find the space. Carlton have struggled with the uncontested ball, so I'm sure they'll be looking to use him in that sort of role where he might be able to generate a, you know, 6 marks a game sort of thing. That's his upside. I don't have him as a keeper for you, but, you know, again, he's one of those ones to watch over the preseason and see which group he's running with, because he certainly has the upside. What do you think about Darcy Lang?
Yeah, I just think with a new club, he's going to have the opportunities. Now, the problem is we probably haven't seen enough of whether he's, we can find out whether he's going to be a consistent scorer. There's no doubt he is going to have a great ceiling, but whether his floor's really bad too, which is always the worry with those type of players, because you pick him 1 week, he's in the team, he pops out a 60, so you drop him, then he pumps out 100, you bring him back up to the main team. So he's one of those, but if he ends up playing on the wing at Carlton, I reckon he's an average, an 80 average player.
Yeah, he just reminds me of that Ben Kennedy, Nathan Hrovat, that talented small forward who wants midfield minutes. Whether they're ever going to, they're probably not going to average 100, they're probably not going to average mid-90s. They're probably going to lose forward status if they ever get that role. And whether they deliver fantasy scores, I mean, Ben Kennedy was a great pick at the start of the season. Now he's out of the league. Probably not one for me.
And it's funny. I would have been sold on him if he was going to the Gold Coast, but that actually makes no sense to me either, because they seem to have a ton of these type of players.
That's strange. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
You've gone the gut feel route there.
Yeah, I should get away from the Jono. So leaving my defenders, we've got one definite keeper, one keeper question mark, which is quite interesting because if I look at the three lists, it's not the worst defence going round.
Well, I guess we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know where you're going. I know where you're going.
Yeah. moving on to the midfielders. Now, the first couple were generally going to be reasonably easy, but I have an interesting sort of no-name midfield. But you put the averages on, and between the three of the list, it probably depth shines through that you can have good scoring. It's probably why I did well in the finals, because I didn't end up having any dark black holes. So the first midfielder is Matt Crouch. 22 years of age. It was his breakout year with 107, so rising from 92. I will say the Bryce Gibbs recruitment concerns me a little on the midfield time, but I think any coach in their right mind is going to keep Matt Crouch in the guts. Would that be fair?
Automatic keeper.
Yep, totally agree. He's a keep. The next one is Sam Menegola. An average of 102, 25 years of age. I've talked about it, what I feel with Geelong, and I think the biggest winner of a couple of departures they've had and the inclusion of Gary Ablett is going to be magnificent for Sam Menegola, because players that were getting a bit of midfield rotation will drop out and he'll become more permanent in there. What's your gut feel?
I think that can happen. I think there's a lot of moving parts for Geelong, and I think they've certainly got some things to figure out. Menegola has certainly shown that he's a fantastic scorer, can play a variety of roles, which I guess is a concerning part, because he can get that forward role, which where he doesn't score as well. You know, I think he's an automatic keep, but whether he delivers a, you know, a ton average again, I guess that's the crystal ball thing, because you've potentially got four midfielders plus Menegola who are going to average a ton.
The next question is, will he be a forward next year?
I find that hard to believe, but again, that comes down to the people who design the game, and if they're looking at the forward line and they think it's a little bit bare, Sam Menegola might be one of those guys who gets the tick, much like, I guess, Jack McRae this year.
And it's sort of why I'm pretty comfortable with Menegola, because even though he spent a lot of time at half forward, he's still turned up for the year. So, yes, it means you might get a few 80s if he plays that half forward role, but he can still score.
Yeah, no, he can, absolutely. He's shown he's just a good footballer.
Absolutely. So third on my list, now I never thought I'd say this about this fine young gentleman, but third on my list of midfielders is Lachie Neale, 24 years of age. We know he had a bad off-season with the injuries and come back and played the season out, but only averaged the ton after being 111 the year before. To me, he's just an easy keep.
He's an easy keep, and when I've already started building out my rankings, and he's a top 10 midfielder for me heading into next draft season.
Yeah, totally agree. The next one, who at times I feel so confident with, and at other times I'm just worried what's happening, and that's Aaron Hall at the Gold Coast, 26 years of age, an average of 98. But will the moving of Gary Ablett finally give Aaron Hall consistent midfield time?
Yeah, I think it will, and I think just sort of you've got to take the good with the bad. Like, he's not an ultra premium, but he's shown he's a fantastic fantasy scorer on his day. I think he's an automatic keep.
Yep, no, that's four keeps out of the first four midfielders. My next midfielder is Callan Ward, who had his lowest scoring average year for the past 6 years with 94. He's aged 27 in 2017, so he's hitting 28. But the continual movement out of that sort of midfield group, that star group, just means Callum Ward's second half of the season, which was much higher than the majority of counterparts. For the second half of the season, he averaged 106. So I'm pretty comfortable that Callum Ward is definitely part of my keeping group and keeping midfield.
Yep, absolutely.
Beautiful. Next one is...
I should say he might be someone I look to move during the year.
Yeah. Yeah, and remember that I actually brought in Callum Ward by selling Dan Hand.
So, yeah, interesting. But, yeah, he's someone I could see... You know, if he had a hot start, I think maybe I'd try to cash in on that.
Yeah, mind you, that first half of the year, I can't really explain. I don't know whether it was role or whether it was injury, but it was so out of shape for him. So that's why I purchased him low.
Yeah, I think maybe Coniglio being out, he was forced to do a bit more of the grunt work because they were sort of missing that element of their game, and they really had the speed guys in there. So that could have something to do with it.
Yeah, and when he come back, scored very, very well. So back to the natural Callum Ward. And I think I did a bit of a breakdown and showed that Callum is actually more a consistent scorer than Dan Hand. But Dan, what Callum hasn't done is had Dan Hand's 113 averaging year. That was the only difference.
Yeah, look, if he's your M4 or, you know, in your case, your M5, you're probably in pretty good shape, aren't you?
Yeah, no, very true. So the next one is Lukey Dunstan, 22 years of age, average 88. But his second half of the year, or should I say his last third of the year, he averaged 110. He just finally got the role he deserved and played magnificently well. What's your thoughts on Lukey Dunstan, and is that role secure in the future for him?
Yeah, as you know, I haven't been the biggest Luke Dunstan truther, but he's an auto keep, and I actually had him in my and Jono's redraft league at home, and I was very impressed. And you have to love that St Kilda didn't get any moves done. That's the big tick for me, I think, with Luke Dunstan.
Yeah, so if you got a Josh Kelly or a Dustin Martin coming in, then all of a sudden everyone around that mark is sort of being questioning whether they're going to get the game time.
Yeah, and I like that his game's not super one-dimensional. Like, he's not like he's not a speed machine. He's very inside mid, but he can push forward and kick a goal. And I kind of like that. I thought he had, like you said, a really good second half of the year. And I think St Kilda would be bored by that.
So far, six midfielders gone through, six keepers. So we talked about possibly having the five. So that's sort of already covered being a reduction of one or two defenders already. So as we say, although the breakdown is 3-5-1-3, the reality is if you've got a quality in one space, you actually keep them, because therefore redrafting a midfield on the redraft is actually going to be really low priority for me. So I can just pick up maybe a Will Setterfield, who might be a breakout player for GWS, really late in the draft. And all of a sudden, I've still got a pretty secure midfield, because there'll be four or five really good scoring mids sitting on the waiver wire at round one.
Well, it's interesting you talk about that, because when we, you know, as the people who have listened to the show all season, it's so much easier to pick up forwards and defenders over the course of a year. Now, the fact that you've got, and people might say Lukey Dunstan shouldn't be an automatic keeper, whereas a guy like Salem, they averaged only 3 points apart. One's a defender, one's a midfielder. So the defender's got more value. But I actually think that the midfielder has more value, despite the fact it's only 3 points, because the midfielders are just going to be kept. Like the depth isn't going to be there. You can find, like, let's say your automatic defender keeper is Ryan Burton. He wasn't drafted.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay, these things happen. Like, who was the Brisbane guy? Witherden wasn't drafted. Yeah. Like, let's be real. Like, there's going to be guys who have got less than 5% draft rate in the forward line and the defender line who come out and are a top 20 forward or defender. I mean, you've got to be savvy on the waiver wire and make sure you snag them. But keeping the midfielders, to me, is going to be the key, because you don't have to wait for Luke Dunstan to develop. He's done his four seasons or whatever it is. He's developed.
Yeah, absolutely. And another reason why I'll say Dunstan's more important than Salem is Dunstan's average only 88, but his second half of the season, when he actually got that midfield role, he was averaging 110. You're just never going to get that from Salem.
No, and like, you know, if we're talking going into a redraft, I'd say an 88 midfielder, you know, to be a midfielder versus a defender averaging 85, we generally have a rule of about 10 yep. points. But in this case, it's probably just a little bit different because of the keeper strategy. Like you see, the young players, they often get defender status or forward status before they move into the midfield, because whilst they've got the tricks, especially the forwards, whilst they've got the tricks, they might not have the tank or what have you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my last midfielder was Billy Hartung, 22 years of age, average 80. And as we know, he's just been delisted by Hawthorn. I'll be very surprised if he doesn't get a lifeline, but my thinking is, until he's proven himself, he's just going to be a waiver wire mid.
Yeah, that's just the realities of it.
Yep. Absolutely. So moving on to a ruckman. Talk about value in the ruck. I'm going to say one I picked up here in, I think, about round 20, and the other one from the waiver wire, and I'm probably looking to keep two ruckmen, which is also a bit unusual, but I don't want to let go of one, and I'm foolish to let go of the other. So the first ruckman is Matthew Kruser, 28 years of age and an average of 105.
Yeah, no, we're absolutely in agreement. I don't think you can let him go. And your second ruckman, I don't think you can let him go either, quite frankly, which is bizarre coming from me.
Yep, and that's Sean Darcy, 19 years of age and 83, and you think all you need is the big fella to go down at Frio and he's your number one ruckman. And I think John O'Griffin, who'll be 32 years of age next year, is not going to be the person that they go to when they need someone. It'll be if the two's unavailable.
I mean, like, think about it. I mean, let's say Aaron Sandilands plays out the year and retires, and that's fine. But I mean, if he went down early, as he's prone to do, I mean, what are you going to get in a trade for Kruser?
Yes. Yes.
Because, I mean, I know, you know, he'll be 29 next year. I mean, I'm sure you'd be looking to ship him out, but oof, be some value.
Absolutely. I was looking to ship him out earlier last year, but did hold on to him. So that was probably a smart move at the end of the day. My third ruckman was Jonathan Griffin, And he was just the backup for Sean Darcy. If Cruiser went down and Sean Darcy wasn't playing, then Jono Griffin will be my replacement ruckman. So he gets delisted automatically. Already got the two ruckmen, which is probably one more than what you need. But I think I'm foolish if I let Sean Darcy be picked up by someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So moving on to the forwards. Highest scorer, age 22, with an average of 95, is the wonderful Jack Billings, who I rate extremely highly. To me, it's just an easy keep, and I think he's the type of player we've seen the midfield and the players running through the midfield. He might get a little bit of wing time, but really he's going to be around goals.
Yeah, I've got him, depending on who obviously makes the cut as a forward heading into next season, I've got him as a top three forward for fantasy.
Yeah, absolutely. Next one, Kane Lambert, waiver wire pickup, would you believe? 85 average, 25 years of age, obviously now a premiership player with Richmond. Playing in his sort of half forward slant wing role, but there is a chance that he might just become a centreman.
That's my expectation, to be honest. And if he keeps forward status, you keep him. If he doesn't, you cut him.
Yep. I'm also, he's a little bit like Christian Salem. I'm not convinced that he's always going to be in the 22 because he's a role player.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have any hard times letting him go if he didn't have forward status.
Yep, totally agree. Next one, Blake Akers, 22 years of age, average of 78. Has a pretty good ceiling, but doesn't deliver all the time. But I'm a bit of an up on this one. I think Blake Akers is real quality. I think he keeps his forward status. I don't know if that's going to be the case for a long period of his future, but I certainly think he's going to keep it for the short term. Your thoughts on Blake Akers?
Yeah, I've actually got him as one of your definite keeps. I'm with you. I think he keeps it in the short term. I think eventually, I think Jono speculated that Nunes will go to the defence, and in that case, I can see Akers playing off the wing, but that's yet to be proven. So for now, he's a definite keep for mine.
Beautiful. Next one, although he should be right next to Jack Billings because his average was 95, but I downgraded that because it was based on only a few games, and that's Jacob Townsend for Richmond, 24 years of age. As we know, he came late in. I think it was Josh Caddy that was out suspended or injured, one or the other. Jacob Townsend come in, and I think he bagged six goals in his first game. Ended up with an average of 95. I think he played reasonably well in the finals as well, so he could be thereabouts, but I'm also not convinced he's firmly in the 22.
No, he doesn't make my list.
The next one, one I was very happy when I picked up around the 220 draft mark and quite keen and happy for, was Lewis Taylor, 22 years of age, average 78 for the Brisbane Lions. Your thoughts on Louis?
I know you're a lot hotter on him than I am. I've got him as a maybe keep.
Yeah, and I'm the same, to be honest. I think I was just rapt that I picked him up so late and he just kept on performing for me. He didn't have a great ceiling this year, but just also really let me down. His first half of the season, I think he was averaging about 82, 83.
Oh, well, you need players like that in your team who just you can rely on. They might not win you a week, but they're sure as hell not going to lose you a week.
Absolutely. And a late season pickup for me, didn't end up playing in the premiership team, was Carl Hooker. I think I actually picked him up because he was playing Gold Coast around 21, around that sort of time, and thinking he might turn up for me. He's a defender come forward, average 74, but I think he only played two games, but still part of the grand or the premiership rotation. You still pat him on the back, say thanks for your service, son. But definitely a D list at 29 for me.
Yep, agree.
So for the forwards, at the moment, I've currently got two keepers, being Billings and Akers, so the St Kilda double. For the rucks, I have two, which is Cruiser and Darcy. For the midfielders, we have a total of six there, being Crouch, Benigola, Neil, Hall, Ward, and Dunstan. And for the defenders, we definitely have the one keep, being Ryan Burton. And I think this squares away because we need to have the 12 in total. So it looks like a mix of 6, 2, 2, and 2 that Christian Salem loses the question mark and is a keeper. So just running through the Statesman's guns, the keepers ended up being Christian Salem and Ryan Burton. So I'll need to actually draft three that are actually going to play on the ground for me on a weekly basis. Midfielders will be six, being Crouch, Menegola, Neil, Hall, Ward, and Dunstan. The rucks, Cruiser and Sean Darcy. I will say this looks like a pretty decent list at the moment, if I do say so myself. And for the forwards, Billings and Akers. So my two priorities are the ones that you say are probably easiest to find, being forwards and defenders. So that's where I'll be concentrating my draft because I need to pick six playing players out of my draft and one midfielder. So my first seven draft picks need to be three forwards, three defenders, and one midfielder. So
Yeah,
you'd be happy with that squad?
I think that's right. The three I had in the mix for the last spot were Webster, Darcy, and Taylor. I think, it's kind of funny, isn't it? I wouldn't have a problem if you wanted to keep any of them, but I think Darcy's probably the most bankable asset there. I think you'll find a Jimmy Webster, a Lewis Taylor, in other rounds.
Yeah, and I've got two ruckmen, and they're both quite tradable and both worthwhile that you're going to get something decent back. So you're missing a midfield, you take the risk and pick up a cheap ruckman while you square away a decent forward by trading one of them.
Yeah, it's always funny talking about this is what I'll trade because, I've certainly planned trades that certainly look good to me and look good for the other person that fell through pretty quickly. So, I guess that's just part of the game.
So, and just to keep everyone up to date, I was the last person to select in the draft, so I got pick 12. Pick 12 was Dan Henabry. I traded out. Pick 13 in the back end, so pick one in round two, was actually Sam Doherty, and I traded both out but still won the premiership. So it proves sometimes not having the best draft position is not always the worst position. So I think I'm trying to think who it was, but I'm thinking it was Matt Crouch, was my first drafted player who would have been at pick, roughly trying to work that out, would be 25.
Wow, it just goes back to what we say, mate. You don't win the league at the draft.
No, very, very true. So just moving up to the actual, is it the championship team that finishes on top of the ladder after the home and away?
It's also called the loser.
So we'll move on to the Frankston Old Boys, and we'll do the last two lists a little bit quicker. We understand the system that we're working through now. So even though we might talk about a few individual players, we'll make our decisions a little bit quicker and then sum up at the end where we sit with our 12. Already delisted from the Frankston Old Boys is Prittis, Mitchell, Mackie, Brooksby, which was an interesting defender to have, and Mitch Hallahan, all that have either retired or been delisted. So we'll go through your defenders, which I will say is not a pretty scene, Steve, but we'll list all four and then quickly discuss where we're at, because in my mind, there's only one keeper here. So you've got Zach Williams, 23 years of age. Sean Burgoyne, 35 years of age. Grant Birchall, 29, who only averaged 69 last year. And Trent McKenzie at 25 years of age. Who do you think you would keep out of your defenders? Zach's easy.
Well, Zach's easy, very sought after, and everyone sees the upside. But I think you can keep Birchall, and he's in my maybes pile. I know he's got 67 and he was injured and all that, but I think he's generally a pretty handy low 80s average player. You might say he's a bit old, but I'm pretty comfortable with Grant Birchall just as one of those guys. If he's fit and firing, you certainly in a redraft a top 12 round pick.
Now, coach of the old boys. Now, we all know Statesman has his line through at 30. Now, with Burgoyne playing at 35, is 36 the cutoff year for the Frankston old boys?
I think he's got another good season in him. People might say the upside's not there, but no. Unfortunately, as much as I love Sean Burgoyne, and he's been one of my favourite players to watch over the last decade and a half, that probably tells you all you need to know.
Exactly. So we'll move on to midfielders, and I think there's three that are so easy here. So we're talking Dustin Martin, 26 years of age, average of 114. Dane Zorko, 28 years of age, 114 average. And Bryce Gibbs, 28 years of age, with an average of 112. There's no disputes. They're three keeps.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's funny that Dustin Martin was actually a second-round selection.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, I'm the same. I thought his value was only as a forward.
So there we go. Brownlow medalist, one of the hottest. You know, if you were going to trade Dustin Martin at this point in time, you're going to cash in.
I will say that we get stuck on this, and maybe it's because of salary cap competitions, but I remember when Dangerfield changed from forward to midfielder, I didn't pick him up because I'm going, no, he's worthwhile as a forward but not as a midfielder. You seem to forget very quickly, don't you?
Well, I mean, you know, you also talk about Dane Beams and Steel Sidebottom and all the other great players who have cut their teeth as a forward.
Forward, yeah. Nat Fyfe.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Ben Cunnington's your next. 26 years of age, 88.
It's tough, but I think I'm actually going to have to... he's in my maybes pile, but I think I'm actually going to have to be forced to sort of keep him because starting seven mids, you really need fourth. I think Ben Cunnington has got some upside because North did nutter in terms of recruitment. So I think he can pinch a mid-90s average. And he did play about four games with a pretty shonky knee. So he scored pretty badly in that month. He scored okay outside of it. I'm comfortable keeping him.
I kept Luke Dunstan, and he was my sixth midfielder. Ben Cunnington, he's not sexy, but he scores.
Yeah, and that's right. And I guess the difference between the two is 3 years. They're both first-round talents or top-10 talents. So I think he's just going to be... my hand's going to be a little bit forced on that one, and I'll probably have to keep him.
All right. I did put him as a question mark. We'll come back. Now, a late pick-up for you because of a Brody Smith's injury was picking up Paul Seedsman, 25 years of age, average of 86.
Yeah, and I'll look for him to get that defender status. I think he's certainly capable of scoring in the Brody Smith role. Whether I keep him or not, that's a different story. But I certainly thought it was worth a pickup with Brody Smith going down. Bryce Gibbs probably muddies the waters fractionally, but
yes,
that's the world we live in.
Yes, very true.
I'd rather have him on my list and cut him later than someone else grab him and potentially mine that gold.
Fair call. Next one, David Mundy, 32 years of age this year, 84, so moving on to 33.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he'll kick a game winner at some point next year, but I think he's a pretty easy cut, tends to get too many roles and doesn't score particularly well in them.
Liam Duggan, 20 years of age, average of 67.
Yeah, when he gets defender status, he's going to really round out my defence nicely. And be a mid-80s defender for me. I think the breakout's coming.
Are you comfortable that he will be a defender?
Yes.
Done. All right. I've put him as keep defender.
Yeah, well, he's on my list. He's the last one who's an automatic, but I'm pretty comfortable that he'll get defender status.
Will Brody, 19 years of age, 64 average.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen David Swallow leave the Gold Coast, but... he's in the maybe pile. I mean, is he going to have a second year breakout? He's a top 10 talent. Didn't profile as a big ball winner in the juniors, but we know he's going to be an inside mid when he does play. He might just be one you keep and and hope he develops over the next 2 or 3 years, because I certainly think there's some upside there.
No worries. I put a question mark next to him. We'll come back. Next one, which was a late season pickup by you, probably didn't read the tea leaves too much, but Cam Ellis-Yolman.
Yeah, that didn't work out at all. He didn't go to North Melbourne or something like that. Yeah.
So I picked up Darcy Lang and you picked up Cam Ellis-Yolman after the season finished, but both look like they're getting cut.
Yeah, yep, easy cut.
Moving on to the rucks, Brody Grundy, 23, average of 106.
Yeah, he's... He was my. Isn't it funny? The captain of the drafty ruck late ship drafted a ruck in the first round, and that was looking really good until the idea of Mason Cox reared its ugly head, and yeah. It doesn't look so savvy. But he's an automatic keep, unfortunately.
But you know what's wrong with that big American?
Lots.
It means someone can still use the phrase "We've got big cocks."
I hope he's listening. G'day, buddy.
Yes. Your second ruckman, Tom Bell Chambers, age 28, average 84.
No, he's just an automatic cut.
What if forward ruck?
Nah, no chance. No chance.
No chance. Now, what if we end up saying you've only got 8 keepers here?
I've got 9.
Right. So moving on to our forwards. So one of those, Jack Gunston, 26, average 85.
Obviously very automatic.
Keep. Will Hoskin-Elliott, 24, 85.
Yeah, I think he's probably going to get midfield status only next year, which means he's... Ooh. Which means he's probably a drop. The thing is, I actually like him. Unfortunately, he's probably just an outside ball winner, which doesn't really do much for your fantasy, but he's in the maybe pile. Just maybe he keeps forward status.
Yeah, forward mid maybe.
If he keeps the forward status, obviously he's an automatic keep, because he's certainly got all the tools to be a good player. But if he gets midfield status, I don't know. You might drop him, but you know, he might get it back. I don't know.
Jared Roughhead, 30 years of age, 84.
He's on the maybe pile. Wow. Well, you say that, but think about it like this. We're talking about what I'm expecting to be a very depleted forward line. Would you agree that that's a very strong possibility? We saw teams playing heavy, you know, the extra man in defence, less forwards. Well, if there was another team in premiership calculations, Jared Roughhead's the sort of guy you can package up and look to trade. So I think he's in the maybe pile, and I'm leaning towards keep. His second half is pretty good.
Josh Jenkins, 29-81.
Cut.
Yep. Cost me a premiership against We've Got Big Cocks.
Ah, that's right. I remember that. That was... Well, he's in another runner-up team. Good for you, Josh.
Yeah, Josh.
And in real life.
He scored me 27 as my VC loophole when Nick Riewoldt scored 200 on the back end of it. Anyway, Jordan DeGoey, 21-79.
Automatic keep.
Yep, totally agree. Jess
just quickly on Jordan DeGoey. You know, we were talking about these guys like your Danger and your Dustin Martin. Doesn't Jordan DeGoey strike you as the sort of player who could be that sort of guy? Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got to go back, and you look at Dangerfield. Now, my recollection of Dangerfield is he did special things in his junior career, but didn't grab a lot of the peel.
Yeah.
Jordan DeGoey is the same.
Yeah, I just kind of have that. It might just be a slow burn, but...
Yep. Yep, totally agree with you. Jesse Hogan, 22, average of 71.
Automatic keep.
Yep, I agree with you. He is the player you don't want anyone else to have your hands on. Even if you end up trading him, he's actually value for you.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
So this gives us forwards 3 keeps, which is Gunston, DeGoey, Hogan. So you've kept your highest scorer and your lowest 2. It's interesting, that one.
Bizarre. But that's what we say. Forwards, you can get them.
Yep. Rucks, 1, gives you 4. Midfielders is 3, giving you 7 in total, and 2 defenders, which one of those includes Liam Duggan, who's moved from midfield to defence. which gives you a total of 6, 7, 8, 9. There's your nine. So let's make a call. You've got to add on three. Cunnington needs to be a keep.
Yeah, that's right. I think so.
That's a 10.
Well, I've
Will
got.
Hoskin-Elliott or Jared Roughhead or Grant Birchall? Two of those three.
Oh, I've got Birchall, Seedsman, Brody, Roughhead, and Will Hoskin-Elliott. And I think at the end of the day, it's probably going to be Roughhead. Oh, I don't know. Probably Birchall, to be honest. Maybe Will Hoskin-Elliott. Oh, we'll wait and see. It's October. It's what month is it? Is it October?
Yeah.
It's November.
It's a tougher read than my squad.
It is because it's very. My moves are sort of very positional dependent. I guess you could say there's less banking. It means if I'm going to be competitive next year, I'll probably have to trade one of my high-priced assets. But on the other side, I'm entering the draft with a very easy target, and that's just pure mids.
Yep, you are. You're going midfield crazy, and you probably have to look pretty hard for defenders too. So mid in.
Well, I think I'm going to have three defenders, and I mean, at the end of the day, if I wanted to keep Seedsman, if he has
Yes.
defender status, I'll have four.
Yep.
So, and I mean, like, there's going to be teams cutting blokes like, Sean Grigg, who I can snap up in a draft to, or maybe, a Callan Ward style player, who you can pick up. So that's just the realities of keepers, is people covet youth so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Jono, his team, and should I say, of course, would love you to leave us a review. We're happy to read it out for you on the show if you would like. You can also join any conversation via Twitter at the Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Just moving on to Jono's pinch of saltness. Now, we'll say Jono got nowhere near the finals. It was quite embarrassing, and we're thinking of getting him, ringing him out of the show just due to his lack of form. But he has got some decent players here, especially his defence. But I think other areas are a major concern. So we'll go through his defenders, and I think we'll rattle up the top three because they're all keeps. Would that be fair?
Yeah, it was funny because looking at Jeremy Howe, I was like, and then I went, you know what? He's only 27. I really didn't. Would you agree though, going through his list, like compared to ours, his high-end talent is better than ours, like the top three.
In four in the defenders,
No. I
absolutely.
mean, like if I pick the three best players from each team, I'd rather probably his three best than ours.
No, because I mind you, he underperformed this year, but Lachie Neale, Matt Crouch, Matt Cruiser, and Jack Billings.
Oh, yeah, maybe, but I mean, I look at Doherty, Oliver, and Heaney.
Heaney makes it pretty sexy, and you're right, Oliver, we're just starting to see, but you're right, he's going to be right up there. So his defenders, the first three are keeps, are Doherty, Jake Lloyd, and Jeremy Howe. I think they're quite easy, average of 117, 92, and 90. They are just purely top 12 defenders, so you keep them. The next three, I think, are really easy cuts. Daniel Howe-Hawthorne, 2176.
Yeah, it's funny because Jono seems to think he'll run through the middle as a tagger and get some time there, but I think that's pretty unreliable.
Absolutely.
I think he's a cut.
Yep, totally agree. Robbie Tarrant, 28 years of age, 72.
Whoosh.
Yep. Ben Reid, 28, 69.
Whoosh.
Fair enough. So that's three keep defenders for Jono. His midfielders, top averager was Nathan Jones, 29 and 104. I think you get one more year of decent scoring, but you've got to keep him, don't you?
Yeah, it was quite bizarre that he moved to the outside and scored his career best.
Yeah, amazing. Clayton Oliver, we just talked about, 20 years of age, 102. He was a major improver this year. He's an easy keep.
Yeah, one of the premium assets in a keeper, I would have thought.
Absolutely. Jared Lyons, who he got off me, 25.94. I think he's a good player, and I think I'm surprised he didn't end up playing every game. I know there's a bit of injury and stuff there, but I think he's a keep for him.
Easy keep.
I don't know if he gets much more than the mid-90s average, though.
Oh, I think he can. I mean, I've got to remember when he went off injured, it was a quarter time. Hurt his, right. And he was already on like 50 or something. So he, right. No, I think he's unders at the moment if you wanted to try trade for him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what their midfield mix is as they go. Got some young guns coming through. Lockie Hunter, 22 and 90.
I don't want to, but I think Jono's hand's a little bit forced on Lockie Hunter.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where he is. I know he's keen on him getting defender status. I don't see it, and if he did get defender status, I'd try flip him as soon as it happened.
Yep. Tom Scully, 26, an average of 81.
Yeah, again, bizarre season. He played like 100% game time at the first half and then sunk to the 80s. So I don't want to keep him, but I think Jono's hand's a little bit forced.
Well, see, I think his fifth one is quite clear. It's Sam Powell-Pepper, only 19, average 69. But I reckon you got to keep him.
Yeah, I do think he's in my forced hand. Hunter Scully and Sam Powell-Pepper are all in the forced hand keep. Category. Powell-Pepper, I don't expect to have a monster second year, even go into the high 80s. I just don't see that happening with the additions to their team.
Yeah, true. That's very, very true. And Daniel Wells, an automatic cut at 32 years of age and 77.
That's an interesting one, actually, because looking at Jono's makeup, if Daniel Wells gets forward status, which he may well do, I mean, you should cut him, but we'll go through his forward line and we'll see pretty quickly why he's a potential keep.
It's funny, I look at my midfielder and say they're an unsexy midfielder, but I feel a lot more secure about my mid than his mid.
I don't like it after lines. I don't like Hunter. I don't like Scully. But at the end of the day, they're probably, you know, it's sort of forced hand situation, I think. Yeah. And we'll go through the forward line and you'll see why.
Yeah, the very true. Ruckman, Callum Sinclair, 28, 74. He's just got to restart and beg. We'll say he automatically delisted Mumford, who he got off me, seeing I catalogued a whole heap of Ruckman to trade him out. He might have to come begging to me for another Ruckman.
Well, Jono Griffin, he might just have to draft him.
Yes, but you can't keep selling Callum Sinclair, can you?
No, you can't. Well, he can go pick up Tom Bell Chambers.
Yep.
And he might be fine as a stopgap.
Yep. Yeah, true. Forwards, as you said, got one gun, Isaac Heaney, 21 years of age, average 92. He's a keep.
The big problem is, though, that he's going to be a midfielder only next year.
Correct. That's going to be the interesting thing that happens with... I think he keeps it for one more year, but he'll lose his forward status after that.
I think it's gone this year.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's my take. You can have your take and that's fine. We'll see.
And then we've got the curse of ugliness, which is it's part of anything that Jono touches in his fantasy football world. Justin Westhoff, 31-83.
Goodbye, Justin.
Delist. Jack Watts, 26-75. You got to keep him, don't you, now?
I don't. I don't keep him. Why?
He's got a great chance, a great opportunity at seriously a top four team here.
Well, that could be a take
first
on...
First time in history.
That might be a take on trust, then.
I think you got to keep him, back him in, see what happens. Right. It's one of those you get rid of and he averages 90. You're going, what did I do?
Well, fair enough. I mean, and we have spoken about Jack Watts. If he gets that defensive role, which is a strong possibility, or he's a lead-up centre-half, well, half-forward flanker type, then, Matt, yeah, fine.
He could play good personality Tom Lynch's role.
Yeah, people say that, but I still don't see the goal scoring for him.
Yeah, but I'm sort of the lead-up role where he's taken mark after mark after mark.
Yeah, I understand the role. I'm not sure it has the upside of good personality. I mean, let's be honest, good personality is the best, besides probably Nick Riewoldt, in the game at that particular role. So, I mean, you can't
good,
expect...
Good move by St Kilda moving him on.
Nick Riewoldt.
No. Good personality. Oh, could have had two of them. That would have been magnificent. Eddie Betts, 30-72.
Yeah, love Eddie Betts. Watching him play.
Ben Brown.
I actually have him as a maybe keep. Only in the maybes because... And we'll get... Look, we'll run through Jono's keeps afterwards, but I've got him in the maybe pile.
Taylor Garner. North Melbourne, 23, average 70. So he's had his breakout year, but he's still only average 70.
Yeah, I don't like it.
No, either do I. How many key position forwards can he have? At least he's gone small here. Tipper, 24-67.
Love watching him play again, but...
Yep. Jake Barrett, 21-66.
I don't see it. I don't see it. I know you're a bit hotter on him than I am. He could be someone you keep.
Yeah, I've put D-list automatic.
Yeah.
He's got to prove something yet. Josh Dunkley, 20-63.
Keep.
Yeah, that's
That's a take on trust, but I think Josh Dunkley's a good player.
Agreed. So, forwards, we have Heaney, Watts, and Dunkley. I know I convinced you on Watts. Rucks, zero, unless you want to hop on Sinclair's bandwagon. That was 2 years ago, Jono. It didn't work then. Midfielders, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. That includes Pal Pepper and Scully, who I'm not probably convinced on either yet, but Pal Pepper will be a good player. And defenders, 3. So that is 9. That is 12 keepers.
Well, there you go. But I think he has a really clear direction in his draft that he goes forward heavy. Obviously, if a good mid slips through to an early pick, then you snaffle him up. But
he has to go ruck. He has to go ruck first up. Anyone that's half decent sitting on there, he has to go.
I don't know. We'll see who gets delisted first. I guess that's the big thing. But
he can get Lobe.
But I mean, the reality is that a guy like Tom Bell Chambers, I mean, I'd rather attack the forward line. Like, I mean, if Tom Bell Chambers, it depends how competitive he wants to be next year. I guess that also comes down to it, whether he wants to continue the rebuild. But I struggle to see how you're competitive with that list, given how strong. Like, I know you won the premiership, and I finished on top and blah blah blah, but I didn't think either of us actually had the best list. Like there was a list you ran into in one of the finals, and he had like 8 keepers out of his team. Like it was So I mean, those things happen.
There are a few on there that I saw were just collecting keepers, but we're talking that they had 16, 17 of them. The problem is they only can keep 12, so they're delisting a lot.
Yeah, and those players are hitting the pool, and they'll be scooped up in the first 3 rounds. So
yep.
I think grabbing premium assets is a bigger worry than grabbing some jobber ruckman.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And when you think about it, there'll be 12 ruckmen taken because I've got 2, and all the other 10 teams will all have 1 each. Not many won't keep a ruckman, so they won't be high priority for everyone else. So you're probably right.
Yeah, and that comes down to supply and demand, like we always talk about. It's more of a redraft thing. We know in the ultimate footy, in our setup, you don't need one, but you generally favour having a backup ruckman at some point. But it's not going to be a priority for everyone. Like, I look at my list, I need to draft a midfielder. I look at your list, you might think you need to grab a defender or a forward. Jono, yeah, I think, should focus on forwards. So
absolutely. So that wraps up our list management podcast. We hope you got a fair bit out of it. We know we're concentrating just on the 3 teams there, but we wanted to do it that way so we could talk about real players, look at real strategies, and there are 3 different priority lists for those 3 coaches to look at on the redraft. And hopefully you've realised the difference of the list management that every team needs to look at, and how in-depth you have to go with your players and strategies and role changes. And, of course, certainly opportunities for some players like a Jack Watts, where it can change your thinking once you have a little discussion about it. So we've certainly hoped you've enjoyed it. I know I've enjoyed it. That was the quickest hour pod that I've ever gone through. It's amazing how much fun we can have without Jono, Steve.
Life is certainly better without Jono. Doing a podcast with Jono is like going on a road trip and someone in the car breaks wind. Something like that. That's sort of what it's like. It's and it's all a gut feel. Someone's got a bad gut feel in the car and cuts the cheese. There you go.
Very true. We'll catch you next week on the Draft Doctors.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.